Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, the Dáil is still on summer recess, but from what's happened with the numerous Irish political parties over the last few weeks and months, it's fairly clear now that a general election is likely on the near horizon. Candidate selection deadlines are looming. There's a budget in just a few weeks away. So we wanted to take a look at how things stand on the Irish political landscape. Executive Editor at the Irish Independent, Kevin Doyle, is here, and Professor of Politics at DCU, Gary Murphy. Lovely to have you with us. So it's a lay of the political land. That's what we're up to this morning. We'll start with that news, Joe Carey saying that he's retiring now, Fine Gael TD. So that's another candidate that Fine Gael would have to find, Kevin. That brings us to 16 now, doesn't it? The number of Fine Gaelers who aren't running again.
Yeah, 16. That figure includes Owen Murphy, who obviously resigned in 2021, the former housing minister. But out of the 35 TDs that Leo Varadkar got elected last time out, 16 of them are gone. So we're almost pretty much at half, which is a big problem in many ways for Simon Harris, albeit the local elections have helped him because we're starting to see that there were a number of councillors elected that are now putting their names forward. So it's not as desperate as we thought it might be earlier in the year. For example, the Joe Carey scenario. Now, Joe's been sick since last March, so it's kind of been well known within Fine Gael circles. This won't have come as a surprise this morning.
Yeah.
But his sister, Leona, she has been nominated alongside Senator Martin Conway. Not selected yet, but it looks like they have a succession plan there, for example. But there are some places that they are still out there searching to find new candidates.
Maybe a number of months ago, Gary, if we were looking at Fine Gael and saying, well, 16 of them aren't running again, it would have been seen as a total disaster. But we have had a change of leader in the interim. Do you think that that shifts the narrative a little bit?
Oh, I think it shifted it completely, Claire. I mean, Fine Gael were sort of heading slowly to, I think, the abyss and the certainty of opposition under Leo Varadkar. The expectation was that they would have a poor or even disastrous local and European election results, and that didn't happen. And I think leadership matters clearly in politics, and that Harris hop is real. I saw him at Glenties at the McGill Summer School in late July, where he got a rapturous reception from an audience that can be a kind of sceptical for leaders at times.
It's not unusual now that you saw Simon Harris. Everybody has seen Simon Harris this summer.
He had that sort of he had a way about him where he did just about enough glad handing that it wasn't too much, the way Enda Kenny would do it, for instance. Like, we might still be there if Enda was still in charge. And then a pretty political speech. He talked about his idea of Department of Infrastructure, and he talked about the government going its full length, and there was lots to do, and he had lots to do. But certainly, I think Fine Gael will go into the election whenever he decides to call it, or he and Micheál Martin, which I think they will do it together, with a fair win behind him on the back of those good local and European results.
He insists time and time again, he's in the Irish Times again at the weekend, saying nobody's interested in when the election's going to be apart from journalists, Kevin, and he always says we're going to run our full term. But the herring around the country, I mean, you look at it and you go, well, why else would you be doing this other than you're having an election in the autumn?
Well, the first thing, Claire, politicians who tell you they don't care about opinion polls and politicians who don't tell you they care about when elections are liars. So we can just...
Well, he says that people who he speaks to do not care about when the election is. He always says that. He said it in here as well. But it's clearly on their agenda.
It's on the agenda. And let's be honest, you meet people on the street, they know you have an interest in politics. I'm sure it's the same, Gary. The first thing they say is, when's the election going to be? People want to know if it's November or March or February. And that's the truth of it. I mean, the hopping around the country, I got his diary, Claire, for the summer, because we used to have a joke in the Indo around who'd be the minister for August. Because over the years, what the cabinet has tended to do is nominate a minister who'll hang back. They'll do a few doorsteps every few days.
A designated survivor.
So if a controversy arises and Claire Byrne is looking for them to come on the show, well, there'll be somebody to show up. It doesn't look like they've all left the country. This year, Simon Harris, I won't go through it all, Claire, because we'd be gone past 12 o'clock. But since the Dáil rose, he's met Zelensky in Shannon, he's met Starmer, he's met King Charles, he's met Macron. In terms of agricultural shows, he's been to Tinnahealy, Tullamore, Dungarvan, Tullow, Virginia, Inniscarra. in brackets, to be fit for the Olympics of agricultural shows, because he's planning to go to the ploughing in a couple of weeks. He's been to the Olympics, he's going to the Paralympics, he's done all the All-Irelands, the GAA, he's done the Flack Hole, the Rose of Tralee, the Kilkenny Arts Festival. Will I keep going, or am I, do you get the point?
We get the point.
It's phenomenal, the amount of places he's been. And when you think about, when's the last time you saw Micheál Martin or Mary Lou MacDonald out? I can't actually tell you what they've been doing over the summer, but day by day Simon Harris is popping up. And it does seem to be having somewhat of an impact, in that at least if you're omnipresent, people feel like they know you or relate to you somehow. It won't last. That new energy, nobody could keep that going forever.
But he can keep it up till the election, which I think is the important point. He can certainly keep that. And he's a relatively young man, of course. So I see the energy staying, and the hectic pace, I don't see that lessening. And then when the election is called, he'll probably go into even hyper mode, and we will then see how those results play out. But I mean, I remember, Claire, we did this programme at this time last year, and I was pretty negative about Fine Gael's chances with Leo Varadkar, and all the dynamic change when Mr. Varadkar suddenly decided that he had enough.
One of the really weird things about it, Claire, and the way it is working, because I'm going to admit to something now, but I saw some of the Rose of Tralee, the bit where they announced the winner, and Anthony O'Gara, who's the MD of it, is thanking the Garda band and Catherine and Doughy and all the rest. And he thanked Simon Harris for popping down to meet all the roses and got a big, loud cheer. You don't see that for politicians. Something similar I saw Ellen Coyne writing today happened at the homecoming for the Olympians on O'Connell Street. Simon Harris appeared on stage and got a cheer. That never happens in Ireland.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. And Fianna Fáil not resting on their laurels either, are they? Because we've had a number of political commitments from Fianna Fáil, certainly over the last few weeks. And the one that caused the most trouble was the promise that Jack Chambers made about the residential zoned land tax being deferred again in order for a solution to be found for farmers. Caused an unholy row, which I think a lot of people, Gary, were surprised, certainly surprised at the Green reaction to it.
Yeah, the promise of a deferral, it's hardly set the pulses racing.
Well, look, if it's deferred, it's gone.
Yeah, well, and it has certainly caused significant division within the Greens. I wrote about this yesterday in my Sunday Times column. The Greens are in a very difficult position because Ossian Smith came here on RT and said, no, it won't happen under our watch. And now, how do you roll back?
Furious about it.
Yeah, and how do you roll back from that? And I see a very difficult problem arising, because I assume that Simon Harris and Micheál Martin have squared off this, and they've decided that the Greens won't ultimately leave the pitch. But the Greens are in a tricky position because a lot of their seats are still at risk. Even the leader in Dublin West, Roger Gorman, now there's an extra seat, and I think the expectation is he might hold on now, but there'd certainly be no guarantee of this. And if the Greens leave it to the end, to leave Simon Harris call the election without pulling out, I think they risk sort of drifting into the election and finding it very tough. Whereas if they did a 2011 on it and left the government under their own terms, well, then you would be the election itself would have a very different dynamic. Now, I'm sure people in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would be horrified to hear me suggest the Greens might do this, but it is certainly a political tactic that I think people in the Greens were probably considering.
Yeah, it is an interesting one. I mean, I was asking people on the show here, could this be, you know, something that leads us into an early election? If you're being cynical about it, it's a good way to get in if you've promised not to go until March, Kevin.
Yeah, well, I think Gary's go for broke approach there is a very brave one if the Greens were to go down that route, because there's an alternative narrative, which is this coalition has been incredibly stable. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us thought the idea of co-Taoiseach, the smaller party, the Greens, would last and would work the way that it has over the last 5 years. That breakdown might seem a bit theatrical and a bit staged. I think you're more likely to see a kind of an unconscious uncoupling, or a conscious uncoupling, I should say, whereby these rows that we haven't seen in recent years are going to become more common. There'll be a load of rows over the budget this time round. We have a month into the budget. There'll be lots of this, but I think they'll ultimately get the budget through, and then they'll find a reason to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, just looking at what's happening then in terms of election prep, we have all of the parties saying, anonymous sources telling journalists, yeah, picking candidates. Well, we know candidate selection is happening, but having the photographs done, getting the posters ready. Everybody is prepping for this, Kevin.
Yeah, manifestos are pretty much ready. They may need to be signed off, but all the parties know what they're going to promise already. I went around the three main parties and just kind of get a sense of where they were at. Now, these were figures from late last week, so it may even have changed, because every day there are new people being selected. But if you look, Sinn Féin have candidates selected in most constituencies at this stage. They have 40 picked at local conventions. They say they're going to run at least two in most places. Fianna Fáil have 41 out of 46 nominations opened and closed. Mm. So not all the candidates selected, but that's pretty much 90% of their nomination process is done. And they only have 22 candidates at this point, but they're well on the road. They could do it in a matter of a few nights if a snap election came. And with Fine Gael, they have 28 candidates so far in 17 constituencies. So all of them are pretty much in a place where if this happened all of a sudden, if the Greens decided to pull it down, they could turn this around in a matter of days.
Right, they could. So if an election was called tomorrow, you're saying that by the end of the week, they'd be all ready to go.
There'd be no problems. The biggest issue they might have would be for some of those bigger parties is the gender quota and making sure that they have enough women on those tickets, because I foresee a problem there. But
yeah,
in general,
40% now, which is you know, quite a significant number for many of the political parties to reach. And I think gender quotas for the most part have worked in terms of the representation of women is slowly but surely increasing from where we were in a hopeless position. 93rd, I think, in the world. We're moving slowly up that table. But candidate selection, there's a lot of talk about the difficulty our parties would have in attracting candidates. But we saw in the local elections that there's no shortage of people wanting to run, notwithstanding the sort of abasement of politics and politicians, or the debasement on social media of those who are willing to stand.
Mm-hmm. And the gender quota issue might be answered for Fianna Fáil and Galway West, with Gráinne Shoiga reportedly in the frame there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a bit of snobbery about Gráinne Shoiga's potential candidacy. My view is that people from...
Not within Fianna Fáil, I'd say they're delighted.
No, I mean, but from some other commentators. And I think that we don't train politicians in universities or whatever, thankfully. So people who are willing to put themselves forward should be encouraged. That's distinct from being somewhat, treated as kind of joke candidates or the like.
The thing I'd say about Gráinne Shoiga is, and which is kind of, there's a lot of talk about her getting on her name on the paper, but actually with what played out last week is that there are, I think, 7 or 8 people on that nomination paper in Galway West that will go forward to convention. She is the only woman on
female,
it.
Female, yeah.
So therefore, Gráinne Shoiga is almost certainly getting on that ticket. And in that constituency, Fianna Fáil have had a TD in that at least one, but actually mostly two up until 2011 and sometimes three since 1937.
Mm-hmm.
So there is pretty much, Éamon Ócaoimh's seat is safe as houses, I think, unless something radical happens with Fianna Fáil.
And there's possibly another one.
And possibly a second one. I think we are almost certainly looking at Deputy Gráinne Shoiga. I'd be shocked if we weren't.
Interesting. It's going to be a fascinating few months, isn't it? And
it is, because there'll be questions. Will there be other so-called celebrity or well-known people willing to put themselves forward? And and political parties, although the results are mixed, have a long tradition of trying to attract in so-called celebrities. But
we saw from the Europeans it works.
It does work sometimes. And name recognition, as we discussed clear many times on the programme during the European elections, I think is even more important in Europeans, just because of the vast size of the constituencies. But name recognition is important at general election, and that's where the point about those people who were elected in June in the local elections, but will they be running as TDs, is becomes all the more important.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Let's do it again. Kevin Doyle and Gary Murphy, thank you both. Talking about Oasis next.